Man of the year, man of the year, man of the year. Welcome to the number one friendship podcast in the country. I'm Matt Ritter.
I'm Aaron Cairo.
Guys, check out our YouTube. Look at our beautiful faces there. Check out man of the year podcast.com and buy some of our merch, buy some hats, buy some swag. We should make mugs. I think we got to get mugs going on, Cairo.
I have so many mugs.
Yeah, but people like mugs. People use mugs.
Yeah, see, I don't drink coffee, so they're just stacking up.
You don't put anything in them at all then? Just because you don't drink coffee, I don't like drinking other things out of a mug either, though, I'll say.
Well, first of all, it's funny. Someone just brought this up to me the other day. Do you remember one of my iconic ruminations? This is from the late 90s, was that everyone had that mug or that cup in your dorm room. And like, it was everything, cereal, vodka. Mm-hmm. And then you would just get a spoon stuck in it. And the spoon would be like this, the sword of Excalibur.
That's great. That's great. By the way, now it's the exact opposite. Now I only have separate cups for separate things. Like I can't, if I'm having a cocktail, I have it in my little cocktail glasses that are on my bar. And if I'm having water, I don't like it in a plastic cup.
Well, you use plastic cups?
Only for the pool. Only for drinking by the pool.
What else
drinking
would you
wine by the pool.
What else would you possibly drink out of a mug?
Just coffee. But I'm saying you have all these mugs. My question is, do you just not use them? So like when you're, because I also like when I'm out of cups, like glasses, and Jess gets me water out of a mug, I go, what is this passive aggressive bullshit? You know I don't drink water out of a mug.
Right.
And the same by the same token, like if she puts my coffee in a clear glass, I'm like, this is vile. You're doing this to hurt. I'm like, you're doing this to hurt me. You know, this wounds me deeply.
if someone gives you a mug, and by the way, we should make mugs. It's not, they're not like really thinking of you very much.
No, what they're thinking is you're going to be thinking of them.
Oh,
it's a great branding move. You're always on their mind.
Right.
You can't get out of my sight. If you bought me a mug, like you're just in my life. It's a good, it's a good branding opportunity for us.
Okay. Cool. Right. We got to do some mugs.
I was thinking about this episode. I was just like dealing with bill paying and stuff, you know, and like usually you call and you get somebody from customer service in another country, but they always try to be friendly. Like they, try to be your buddy, you know? And I'm like, I will be nice because I'm not like the type of person that's like yelling at some random person from some foreign country. It's not their fault. But now I've noticed that like there's just chatbots on all these, like your insurance website or like, can I help you? Blah, blah, blah. And they start trying to talk to you like they're an actual person. And it just made me think like you see all these like chatbots. There was this thing that I think it was Bumble that's doing this chat, you know, helper. Like, do we think we're going to get to a point where A, we're going to have like AI friends, or B, like, do we like the idea of just using AI in friendship?
By the way, you said Bumble is actually the CEO of Tinder.
Tinder.
The former CEO of Tinder.
I think it's because we want to do business with Bumble. I was like, oh,
yes, we love Bumble. Bumble BFF. Check out the app. So they have this new chatbot called Meeno, M-E-E-N-O, which is trying to fight loneliness. You know, let's back it up to AI in general, what we call AI these days. Cause I think, as you know, like it's not really AI.
It's a generative collection of copyrighted things they've infringed on.
Right. Well, it's LLM. It's a large language model. They've just looked at everything that's ever been made, including our scripts.
Spit out an algorithm of what you're based on your question.
Right, exactly. So it's not like these things are thinking or doing whatever. They're just like looking at everything. Yet. And how much do you mess around with AI?
Every day.
Yeah. Okay. Probably. And like, give me an example. Like what, when you're writing, right?
When I'm writing, when I'm like, what are we going to talk about on the podcast?
Okay. Yeah.
When I'm like, oh, how do I send the best email for recruiting stuff? All kinds of stuff.
Really? So you have to compose your emails?
Ideas,
because sometimes when I wanted to do Jesse something like that,
Jesse said she did it recently for outreach for work.
Right, it basically gives you a template and then you have to edit it.
Yeah,
but for, you know, for writing
contracts,
for our contracts. Right. Right. our listeners may remember from me and Matt did an early deal. And as Matt is a former lawyer, he sent me the contract that he wrote up. I was like, damn, Matt, you still got it. He goes, it was ChatGPT.
Yeah. It's pathetic.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, you know, I use it occasionally.
Yeah. No, same thing. If I'm writing, it's not like I need a line of dialogue. I'm more like, why would two people who haven't seen each other in 3 years be at a diner? And it'll just come up with something like, you know.
Kind also, of- I will give, I'll go like, give me 10 alts for this line.
Oh. But how does it know the context of the line?
I give them the context.
So like one guy says.
This is a rom-com where this guy's trying to be a little charming, a little bit salty. Here's the line. Give me 10 alts.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I got to try that.
I don't know. Is that going against WGA rules? I don't have no idea.
No, if you're, it's a tool. It's just a tool. Yeah. It's just a tool. So taking that into like AI friends, you know, I think you and I talked back in the day about like online friends. So real people that you've never met, like the people you talk to on Xbox, Oculus.
Right. Right. Exactly. Most of the time, those are not the person you think they are anyway.
Right. But even if this is even if it is a person you do know, I think you were actually a little bit more pro that than I was.
As I've always said, take our friends where we find them. Take our lonely people where we can find them. Take our lonely people who need help where they're at, not try to move them to a place that they're not comfortable.
Matt, I've noticed another thing about you as I learn more about you, even though we've been friends since 1986. You almost always say, I've always said, I've maintained from the beginning. but what you do is you say 1,000 crazy things and then you pick the thing. Well, I said that from the beginning. Like that is technically true, but you also said 50 other bonkers things.
Oh my God.
You're like so those Twitter accounts that just do it like 1,000 World Cup scores. And then 7 years later, they delete the 99 and go, hey, I had it.
I'm the Nate Silver prognosticator. Just you're, like, you know, nobody ever calls out. No, because nobody, right. Nobody ever calls out those pollsters who got every other thing wrong.
You're the World Cup octopus of statements.
Yes.
I have maintained from the beginning. I'm like, okay, Matt, Jesus.
Yes. What were you even talking about for this one? What did I say?
We were talking about, by the way, this one you have maintained from the beginning.
Oh, hey.
Like, hey, if your buddies are on Xbox, your buddies are across the country, you met them in a message board. Yeah. Fine. I think you got to get out of the house.
You got to get out. You got to get out of that. You're an indoor cat. That's fine.
Right.
Look, I still think there is a huge benefit health-wise, et cetera, emotional, to getting out of the house. But that doesn't mean, those don't count and those aren't real.
Okay, so now this is the next iteration. Now they're not a real person. It's a chatbot.
Right. So here's where I'm like, on the one hand, I basically just said, hey, most of those people are not who you think they are anyway, right? Like, you know, when you're online dating and you're chit-chatting with somebody, it turns out it's some like dude from Turkey anyway. You know, it's like.
Well, let's assume that you're chatting with people. They're the real people.
Right. But I'm saying you don't know that they are anyway. Saying. So are we entering a realm where it's acceptable / are there any benefits to just having a chatbot friend? I say yes.
Okay.
Better than nothing.
Okay. I mean, yes.
Did you ever see the Twilight Zone episode where he ends up, I think he's on the moon, who's on another planet and he has a robot as his only friend?
Okay, no.
And the robot like breaks down and it's like, you know, basically like he's mourning it, you know, it was his only friend. At first he hated the robot.
Right.
And he gets stranded. And then it becomes his only friend. I forget the name of that. I think it was with the guy, Rocky's, you know, what's Mick?
Oh, Mick. Oh yeah. I mean, I have no idea who that actor is.
Right. Alicia's his companion's named Alicia.
I mean, I suppose if you are in sort of
Jack Warden,
if you're in, no one cares. If you're in some sort of crisis, or you're really in dire straits, or you have no one, or it's going to be temporary, sure. And But like, is that better than nothing? Because if it's stopping you from getting out and talking to real people.
Let me ask you this. Let's back it up.
Yeah.
People used to say, hey, you got to call people. Texting, that's not the same as picking up the phone and calling people. Uh-huh. Now you never call anybody. But you submit that that is just as intimate. I don't agree.
Well, I don't know why you made, I never maintained that from the beginning. You made that up.
No, but I'm saying you like to not pick up the phone to communicate, but you feel that you're getting the same level out of that communication of your voice memo.
Yeah, but it's still a real person.
No, I know. But my point is that everything shifts.
Sure. I mean, imagine anybody 30 years ago being like, oh, we're just going to send little digital messages to each other of text. You'd be like, that's horrible. Right,
but again, you know, 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, nobody would have ever thought they would ever enjoy being on a Zoom with somebody.
And they were right.
They were right. It sucks. But no, they look, truth be told, the world always marches on. Technology always marches on. I really hope people, and I know people need human connection. We're human social creatures, but at the same time, is there a benefit to having remember when you have Tamagotchis?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Tamagotchi. It's not going to replace parenting. Maybe it trains you to be a better friend. What about that?
Well, interesting. This the Tinder CEO, he's the former Tinder CEO's chatbot. It's supposed to help you with your relationships. Like it's supposed to give you advice.
Mm, so it's to replace us.
Yeah, basically.
I don't like it then. Then I hate it.
Yeah.
I take it all back.
But I guess if you're having relationship problems, you're going to go to a chatbot. I don't know. Like I'm not quite following it.
Replacing a therapist then?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's also obviously sometimes the AI gives you crazy shit. Mm-hmm. So like, do we trust these things?
I mean, I wouldn't exclusively rely on AI to form and maintain your friendships. I would rely on Man of the Year podcast.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I was thinking, so maybe, okay, let's maybe take the positive view. Like, by the way, cut to 6 months from now where we're launching a Man of the Year proprietary chatbot.
Oh, yeah. I want in on this. For completely.
And by the way, you could change the personality from K-Row to Matt.
Oh, yeah. Matt's going to be more popular.
So if you want to you'll be way more. If you want to chit-chat, Matt will fucking talk your ear off about birds or whatever. Meanwhile, the K-Row's like, get the fuck out of the house.
Right. Eventually, it's going to be at the point where people are going to start like breaking the Matt bots and be like, leave me alone.
Right. Yeah. Please turn it off.
Turn it off. It's got no off switch.
It's got no off switch. You can't, it's solar powered.
Yeah. You're hiding under a blanket, black blanket.
You, I think brought up earlier before we got on the air, weird science, which I imagine is like one of in your canon. I've only seen it like once.
What?
Yeah. Can you explain what weird science is?
So these two kids aren't that popular and they're like nerds because they know how to use computers.
It's an 80s movie, by the way.
Yeah. And they make their actual, like it accidentally gets plugged in, like lightning strikes, one of those like random things. And it's plugged in and it's like on like a Playboy magazine and it makes Kelly LeBrock. And she basically like is at their service and they become cool. But like Robert Downey Jr. plays a bully and, it's Anthony Michael Hall, classic Anthony Michael Hall, and Bill Paxton plays their jerk off older brother Chet. Phenomenal movie.
Did they just like?
There's a great scene where they're just trying to figure out like the size of the boobs they want to make, and they just like press like really, 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 really like insanely big, and then they pull back a little.
So I don't remember this part, and forgive me if this is uncouth, but did they bang her?
No, but there's like some of that going on,
right?
Because she helps them meet two girls that are popular.
Got it. It's weird because my friend, you know, if I'm a nerdy kid in the 80s and I build Kelly LeBrock, I mean,
yeah, but they're like ethical.
Oh God.
That's pussies. Like, yeah, yeah.
Right. Right. So if we were going to
shower with his whole jacket and he showers like with a girl and he like keeps his shoes on in the shower.
So if we were going to weird science, an AI friend.
Weird sciencing an AI friend. I like it.
Yeah. Or I think I said it's called Build-A-Bud.
Build-A-Bud.
I mean, movie idea.
That's a movie. That's a movie.
We have to cut this out. Now I think we should just try to think about what it should be, but for this exercise, do you think this is going to be a comes to life situation? Or we're talking about just like a chatbot, like the Tinder guys.
Oh, it's more fun to picture like building a real life friend.
Okay. So it's like, you know, we're basically doing a platonic sex doll.
Why does it have to be a sex doll? If it's just,
well, I'm just joking. Cause it's a doll.
Yeah.
What,
do we have to have sex with it? It's a platonic thing. Or are you always required to have sex with a doll if you make a blow-up doll?
I mean,
even if it's platonic?
Anything life-size.
You have to have sex with. It's law.
So first thing, I would make sure that our buddy wasn't better looking than me.
Interesting. So that's your number. That's where you're starting with. I have to be better. That's where you go first. The first thing.
You know, because I was thinking every time I'm hanging out with best friend, Mike, who is our, you know, very attractive friend. Who's the nicest guy ever who's married. Yeah. I do feel a little like bad about myself.
Okay. I would say the number that's your, I don't even know what to say to that. I think you should talk to your therapist. My number one would be like having them up for anything. If we're building, like if you're building build a bud,
right.
You know, like that would be my number one thing. It's like, okay, the friend that you can, I mean, we're talking about loneliness. Like, okay, this person will do whatever, you know, I mean, this is a little manipulative here, right. But I'm basically saying yes, man.
I like how you're making your buddy in the reflection of yourself. You're making you.
Yeah, but I say no to some things. I say no to a lot of things, but I would like it to be. I say no to quite a few concerts.
So you I think you want them to be non-judgmental.
Non-judgmental. That's a great trait.
Yeah.
That's a great trait. If I have like I'm just thinking about all the best qualities of all of our friends.
You want them to laugh at your jokes?
Yeah. Yeah. Like definitely like catching your vibes for your humor. That's a good one. I mean, do they have a private jet?
If they have a PJ, that was going to be good. I would say they know other dolls. They know female dolls. I mean, we're assuming it's a male doll, but
yeah, it could be a female doll. Build a bud. What are the qualities that you really want to have? Right. So non-judgmental.
You want them to be supportive. They want you want a hype man.
Yeah. Hype man's good. But I also think, so I'm going to go back up a little bit. I think you want somebody who, like what you were saying with the looks, but I don't think it's about the looks. Is you want somebody that you feel is your equal in a lot of ways.
Now we're literally talking about an actual friend.
Yeah. Well, we're building a bud. Right? I'm just saying, I think for friendships work the best when you feel like you are equals.
Right.
In my opinion.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Power dynamic, status, like all of those. I think friendships really work when you're kind of feel like you are equals and you don't feel like one person is in a different place or better or has money or just all the things.
So our build a bud is a up and coming screenwriter.
Middling.
Yeah.
Middling screenwriter.
Yeah.
Has sold nothing that has made the air.
Lots of mugs.
Yeah. What's another good build a bud? I mean, you know what we are lacking in our friend group, like in general, like, it would be good though. You said you don't want anybody better looking, but I would like somebody who's like a little bit tougher.
Yeah. You always say that you want the enforcer.
It would be good. I'm just saying, you go traveling, you go to Vegas, you go to another country. It's always good to have like somebody around that people are like, we're not going to mess with that group because of that guy.
Yeah. The problem is, and as we've had some experience back in the day in our New York days, the enforcer ends up getting our asses kicked.
If they're the aggressor.
No, they get a foot stepped on and they go crazy.
I'm just saying, if they're if they're aggressive, like by nature, I'm saying as a shield.
Yeah. You know what you do? You just turn down the knob that's like dickishness or whatever that's called.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. We have like, it's like a NFL, whatever, Madden. You can do the like score system on the person. I don't want the vulnerability turned up too high.
No, I don't want a weepy sex doll.
Yeah. No. Stop with the sex. It's our friend.
Before we run out of time, I want to take a listener question. You down for a listener question?
Yeah, I think we've exhausted the Build-A-Bud. He's a slightly vulnerable, beefy, not that good looking, up for anything, dude.
We've honestly created the worst fucking person ever that we would never.
Got a private jet though.
Yeah, he's got a jet. That's worth it. We just strap him in the front. Yeah. All right, this is asking for a friend. If you have an ethical dilemma or friendship question, send it to us on Instagram, Man of the Year Podcast, and we will answer it on the show. Okay, this is a good one, and it kind of hits a little home for me. This message says, Dear, very, very strangely proper. Dear Matt and Cairo, I hope this message finds you well. Okay.
Sounds like it was written by ChatGPT.
I have been grappling with a bit of a birthday predicament, and I thought I could use your advice to shed some light. Here's the situation. I'm an adult man, and coincidentally, I share the same birthday as my best friend's five-year-old son. Ugh. While I usually celebrate my birthday with a big blowout party at a bar, it's become an issue in recent years because my friend wants to have a kid's birthday party on the same day, and we share the same group of friends who can't go to one or the other. What do I do? I've been having parties on this date for 30 years. I don't want to overshadow the little one's special day, but at the same time, it's a big day for me too. Is it okay for adults to have celebration on the same day as a child's birthday, or should I consider an alternative date?
So, you know, I'm probably going to say something that you probably wouldn't expect from me. I don't think adults that should have to reroute their entire lives for toddlers in every way. Obviously, as a parent, you have to make adjustments, but I do think you have to maintain some semblance of your life. You know, we read this book called Bringing Up Bebe or Raising Bebe, like how to raise a French child. And the idea was like, hey, if you're going out to dinner, go out to dinner, bring the baby, they'll adjust. Right. This was just tying into the idea of like, okay, so you've been having birthday parties your whole life, and now suddenly you're not supposed to because somebody's kid has a birthday on that day too. Like, why are you obligated to change your whole life now?
So let me just take one thing you said, which is bringing the kid to dinner. So I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but like my dad's number one, like everyone's got their one thing. We've talked about this. His number one of all time is kids at dinner. He will lose it. Like
if
he cannot
sees somebody else's table nearby with a kid.
Because the kids run around. They're kids.
I will say this. In his defense, he makes a point. I try to go to places. There's a Larchmont pizzeria.
Yeah.
Where it's chaos. And they know that you can just throw food on the floor. And it's like that part of it. And you leave a big tip. And like, you got to go to places like that or places that are outdoors.
Or...
I agree that like, there is something to be said. Like, you can't just go around ruining everybody else's time.
Right.
Because like in an airplane, you have no choice. You're just a jerk if you're mad that there's a baby crying.
Right.
But if you're like, you know, at a restaurant, if you have a kid, you should try to ask for a table that's not like on top of, you know, people that clearly are not going to be cool with.
Yeah. But I've been to many a restaurant over the years with my dad, not kid, you know, normal ass restaurants, and there's kids and like, they're not.
Look, that's tough. It's part of life. I mean, I also think part of it is money. Like, you can't afford to pay a sitter every time you want to go to dinner. Sometimes it's not worth it. And so you're like, oh.
And you got to go at like 5 a.m. You got to go at like 5 p.m. then.
Yeah. I see both sides of it. is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But to your first point about not changing, by the way, if it's not your kid, you're right. I mean, your life shouldn't change because someone else had a kid.
Right.
But you also, you're
trying to be a good friend.
Exactly.
So should you change the date of yours because you can, they're flexible, but why isn't that baby's birthday party flexible too?
Well, step one, communication.
Yep.
I mean, do we think it's, so let's just say from personal experience, I have a little girl in the group who's the same little Lucy, who's got the same birthday as me.
Yep.
And I usually have a big blowout birthday, and the past couple of years, her parents couldn't come because they had a birthday the same day. And also some friends, a couple friends didn't come or came late because they had to go to that because they had kids who were friends.
I came late. I had to double it up.
Yeah, you came real late, actually.
It's really far. They were both really far.
Yes, that's another thing. So it wasn't convenient for anybody. Now, it was a Saturday, so I could call her up and say, I'm going to have a birthday. But our birthday was on a Saturday, so what, you know, like.
So I think there's a couple things that you could do. One is, it depends on how close you are. You could coordinate, right? Okay. Go, hey, I'm planning on, we know this is a recurring thing, so why should we have this be an issue always? Instead, why don't we come to a solution that works for everybody if we have the same group of friends?
Yeah.
Could we split it up later in the day? Can we make it later in the day? Can we do Saturday, Sunday? Can we combine them somehow? I mean, kids and adults is tough.
Right. See, it's funny. I don't mind having, because I love kids, so I don't mind having kids at like a birthday party because I like to have a daytime birthday party anyway.
Yeah.
The problem is it's not fun for the parents.
Right. Right.
Like you it's can't hard. Really have.
Right. It's hard. It's harder. Right. It's definitely harder. There's not like a good solution that will please everybody perfectly, but right. It depends on what your goal is, right? If your goal is, I just want to be able to do my thing, you can just do your thing, right? You're going to not have some people show up, but that's fine. They could show up
right.
another time. You just have to accept that some people are just not going to show up because their priority is with this kid and the parents. And like, you can't be mad at people. I think that's the problem. Is like, okay, so there are two events in the same day. It's some people will try to make both. I try to make both. My wife and I, Jesse and I, have decided like that's too hard sometimes. So we'll split it up.
Yeah.
And like, hey, I'm doing this. Like, she's appearing on my behalf in my stead.
You love that.
Yeah. Like, we're saying that we care enough to do this, but even that is getting harder and harder. So I think also you have to accept that people with children are not going to be able to show up in the same way.
You're like when Marlon Brando won an Oscar and he sent someone else in his stead to pick to get the Oscar.
Yeah, that was one hell of a speech.
Yes.
Little feather, I believe.
Yes. Yes. And I believe there was some controversy surrounding that, which we'll not.
That's mean little feather. Yeah.
Our purview of our podcast.
The Godfather.
So you know what I did, Matt? I asked ChatGPT to answer this question.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So I also asked Bard. Do you ever use Bard?
Don't know what that is.
Bard is Google's ChatGPT knockoff. I actually like it better because it's a little bit more of a better UI. Okay. So Bard said, talk to your friend, have an open and honest conversation, explore compromise, potentially share the day, offer flexibility, acknowledge the priority that your friend has of like, he or she's got to obviously be prioritize their kid. ChatGPT honestly said pretty similar stuff. Discuss with your friend, find alternate dates, combine celebrations. This also says, given the age difference, it might be more important to prioritize the child celebration. You can still have your adult celebration, but perhaps on a different day to ensure the child gets a spotlight on their special day.
Right. So I hear that, but I'm also just like, you're not taking away from the child spotlight. Every person in that group can choose to go to that child's party.
Yeah.
Or come to yours. Every person can make their choice and you know what they need to go to or what they want to go to in that moment. But I also think everybody should communicate if they're going to do one or the other. Like, hey, man, I just feel like I should go to this. you know, can we hang out later in the week, whatever. So you just may have to accept that you're going to have a lighter turnout. And that's the question. I think the caller was asking, the listener was asking for permission to do what they want to do.
Right. Basically, like, why should I have to give it up?
Right. And so you don't have to, but you also have to acknowledge that it's not just you. It's a lot of those other guests that they're getting put in a spot. They're getting put in a spot. For them, it becomes like, oh, now this person's going to be mad at me. So I think you have to say, okay, if I'm going to do this, then I have to accept that some people aren't going to show and I can't be mad at them because I'm not being flexible.
Right. Right. So my birthday, God, we're getting late in the year. In a few months, do I reach out to Lucy's mom ahead of time and be like, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing?
Does it have to be the same day every year?
Well, it's when our birthdays are. So right. It's the Saturday closest to our birthday. Mm. You know, I like to do a daytime thing. So right. Honestly, to your point, it's not really a great solution. She's going to be like, well, I want to do a daytime thing. My kid's four.
Right. So if you've tried to come to a solution and you can't, then you just have to accept. And this may increase. There may be other kids born on that same day, you know?
Right.
Maybe another baby. I think you just have to accept that, oh, you know, this is a thing that's, you know, my birthday. If you're not willing to move the day, right. You know, if you're not willing to move the day, then you're going to have a lighter turnout.
I mean, I definitely took names of people who didn't come to my birthday or came much later.
I don't think we should do that.
Okay. They chose Lucy over me.
Yeah. And I see why, because again, like adults should be less, you know, you're a little more sensitive. I agree with Bard. You are a little more sensitive about your kids, their new birthdays. Like you are more sensitive as a grown man in his 40s, you know, maybe just let it slide a little that, you know, that these events, most of the people trying to do it are also parents.
Yeah. I mean, of course, if you have a little kid within the same age range as kid birthday, kid, you got to go to a, you know, it's also fun for your kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will also state again, I love having kids. We had a bunch of little kids at my birthday. Again, it's annoying for the parents, but it's great for me.
Right. But sometimes that's not ideal for the parent of the kid to go, I want to combine this with an adult party.
Right. And you know, to which I say, shouldn't have kids.
I think you should have just an adult birthday party with no parents.
Wait, a birthday party with just kids and no parents?
No, just people who don't have kids.
Just people who don't have kids. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be like four people.
Exactly. And then,
yeah, exactly. I got it. All right. I feel like we answered that question with the help of ChatGPT and Bard.
Yeah. Communicate.
Yeah, communicate. So that was asking for a friend. And guys, remember, if you have a friendship question, send it to us on Instagram. We will answer it on the show. Matthew, what did we learn today?
Well, we learned we have different types of chatbot sex friend dolls. But I also think we may have sort of realized that, you know, there is something to be said for technology changing. And I think you got to embrace all the tools of technology. It's just everybody's using them for whatever. And they're going to be used in some way in friendship. I don't think they're going to replace friendship.
Yeah. And I'm going to jump off of that, because I will say you kind of turned me a little bit in this episode. And it's funny because we went the opposite. I'm usually the one who's like more technological forward. But you're right. It's just a tool. You know, if your only friend is a chatbot, there's other issues. But like, if you need a hand or need someone to chat to, like, I'm going
to
say.
There used to be sex hotlines that people called when they were lonely.
Again, that's a person. That's a real person.
Were they? Remember that movie CB4? He was like, yeah, I'm licking your balls. CB4. I doubt anybody remembers CB4.
I remember that. I remember
early Chris Rock. But I was going to ask you this. Remember Pen Pals before we go?
Sure.
Right. I don't know. Did we know that those were real people on the other end?
Matt, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you obsessed with the people being fake? They were real people writing you back.
And you know, I never met my pen. Have you ever met? Did you ever meet your pen pal?
So someone you've never met, you assume is a fake person?
Usually, yeah.
I mean, you've never met
people abroad. I don't know. All of it.
Right.
There's a lot of scams out there.
what a long con. I'm going to get a person with a child's handwriting to write, you know, inane letters to me.
Yeah.
Like when
I'm saying when, we were, that was training us to become friends with ChatGPT, pen pals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
pen pals was our grooming. That was our grooming to only have AI friends.
I think maybe what you're just maybe trying to say is that like a chatbot trained on all the human, you know, language of the world is probably just as good as some schmo, you know, pen pal, Xbox thing, sex line. Like, why
it's
is
as good
it
as 50% of our friends?
Yeah, I'm not gonna go with that, but I'm saying it's probably better than 50% of the population of the world.
Right.
Who's a complete idiot?
How about this? Yeah, right. How about this? It doesn't offend. If it's like a bot, it doesn't offend. It doesn't hurt your feelings. There's, you know,
right.
Could be a lot of.
But you could also
milk
argue
toast. Real milk toast.
Right. Right.
Or we could teach it to be real nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want it to, you know, we're going to run a generation of soft boy incels who just
it's just going to be nasty snark.
It's yeah. Like who just
BDSM friend.
You could have like a Rodney Dane or not a, who was the guy who roasts you?
Oh, Don Rickles.
Yeah.
Don Rickles.
Yeah. I'm going to ask when we get off, I'm going to ask my Alexa to roast me. So let's do some shouts. I've got a shout actually. This is sort of less about the podcast and more about me personally. Matt, do you ever hear those like anecdotes of like people who like, oh, I didn't speak English and I watched Friends and that's how I learned.
Is that true? Has that ever worked for anybody?
I think so. Because if all you're hearing when you're a little kid is English or something, or right. I don't know. I mean, this isn't quite that, but I recently, got a message from this woman, Maria. She's Greek American. She went to college in Greece. And she said that she read Ruminations, which was my early column, to learn American slang and college culture. So I was like, I mean.
So she's a Greek. She just sounds like you. There's a Greek girl walking around that just sounds like Kira.
Well, I thought the joke you're going to say was what? So she was getting absolutely shit faced and you know, throwing
acting
up.
Acting sounding like Kira.
Listen, I was Greek and she's Greek.
All right. Hey, Greek life, baby.
Yeah, Greek life. And that is our show. Thank you guys so much. Be good to yourself. Be good to your friends. Love you, buddy.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.